So what do we look for, you know, in life? And if we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot come to that place and to fully look at ourselves. And we put on a trial, and our trial, we find it so hard to handle this trial. Then something is wrong with us. But so what are we looking for then? After all, we have the peace. And yet we find that we don't have peace sometimes. Peace should be always stabilized in our heart, no matter what storm may be blowing, and how that our ship may be rocking, keep on the rock, run the shore, you know, sails torn apart. But we cannot, our peace is always there. All I have to do is go to the eye of that storm. And the eye of the storm is the Lord Christ Himself. And you know, all we can go right there and have peace. I'm going to just remember those brethren who have not been here with us for some time, and sisters too. In the moment that you look at your problem, the bigger it's going to get. And I'll tell you this as a fact. The more you look at a problem, it's going to get very big. Right? And that's why I told you, remember, in that the dream that I have, I didn't tell that part, I got had it post on WhatsApp. When those two dogs came to me and put a face like that, I tell you, just remain calm, just ignore me. Their appearance made me recall of an incident that I had many years ago, I think about 8-10 years ago, with a group of young Malay teenagers. I bought the train in Choa Chu Kang with their last coat. It was not a busy time, so there was not many people. When I walked into the train, there was 4 of them. And the older one was about, I don't think he's 15 or 16 years old. The rest are like 12, 13 years of kid. And one of them came in with a transparent plastic cup of red colored drinks, you know, that's syrupy. And he was drinking in the train. And I walked in and I said, you shouldn't be drinking that because, you know, it's not right to drink it. And he looked at me, he goes back, he looked at the other elder one, who is the older one. And the older one is the alpha dog. You know, so I sat down, and that the older one was sitting a little on my right, opposite side, and he was staring at me. He was staring at me like a gangster. You know, he's just about 15, 16 years old. I ignore him anyway. So when the train reached down to Jurong East to change the bus, I mean change the train, so everybody laughed. So I was sitting on my bike, I wanted to take my bike. And he came right out, I didn't notice it, I was taking my bike. And he stood right in front of me like this. He's asking me, come, want to fight? That kind of face, I look up. At that moment of time, that split second, you know what I was tempted to do? I wanted to get out and butt hit, you know what I mean? Hit him out. That was very tempting. Because I dislike people putting a face of challenge to me. Now, if I'm not a Christian, I'll fight. I don't care. And he was talking like that. And then when I look at him, I want to put my head out and do it. That moment of split second, I calmed myself down. And there was an elderly Malay woman. I think I was in my 60s then. And she was probably about 70 plus. She saw the whole thing. You know, she knew that this fellow had this gang group of boys with him, probably already when she got in at somewhere in a torture gun, but she probably sees this ruffian bring the food, you know. And she came up to him, saying in Malay, "No, go, go, the train is already moving. Come on, let's go." In Malay, trying, pushing away. And the little boy went up, and I got up and walked up. When they were on the platform, he was making a lot of funny things, called the gang, now you look at me, I want to fight me. I said, come on, man. You know how the whole thing works? And that's what I was thinking, that, you know, if we want to respond to a fight like that,
I wonder if I would butt him, he probably fall over. If I just get and push him hard, he'll fall down and he probably had his, himself very, very injured and not be in trouble. The law is that, of course, you put the first punch, you're in trouble. You're a guilty one. You know? So, many times I'm in a situation like this and I keep myself calm. I just try to calm myself. You know? Even though we are Christian, we have the black dog, right? The black dog stirring up trouble to get us. You see? And so, well, it just reminds me that I'm not the only one going to trial, but many of us. And I just want you all to know, you need to come to a place where you know who you are. Just know who you are. And be at peace with the Lord. And move on. Alright? Alright, let's go to the word of the Lord. Let's have a song. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the grace today once again as we gather together. Bless those, O Father, who could not be here today. Adam has COVID. And there are others, Lord, probably not feeling well because we have the flu virus, that COVID. Whatever is still going on, many are feeling a little tired, weary. But Father, we also commit those who are not here by reason, O Father, for no reason, not together in the house of the Lord. Or perhaps they have reasons because they have problems in the family or with themselves. We commit them to you, Lord. But now this is the hour, Father, the day that we live in, not only the day that you have made for your sins to gather themselves and be prepared and get ready for the homegoing. But Lord, it is also a time in the day of trials and tribulations. Father, in this life that we have, that life that you give to us, you said that you did not send peace to a family. You bring a sword to a family, even to friends and loved ones, oh Lord, and relatives, whatever, because of the gospel. That word is a two-edged sword. It's cut and it separates. And Father, we pray to the Lord, let it not separate our family. We know sometime, O Lord, there are those who have been in the message for many years. And finally, after so many, many years, a spouse will say, I don't longer believe in this message. And she dropped out. I pray, Father, that those who are yours will always remain in the palm of your hand. Nobody will take it away. The only way, O Father, that a person can leave your palm is you climb it out. You climb out of your palm and jump out of your hand and do his own thing. Father, we have come so far. You have called me into your gospel when I was not even 12 years old. It's been a long time. 62 years old now. And there are some here who knew you perhaps 30, 40, 50 years or maybe
Many of us, perhaps 20 or 10 years, whatever it may be. But Lord, it's your own grace, your own time that you deal with each individual. Now, I'm not just praying for the believers here, Lord, but all over the world. Those that we associate with, those that we know. Those that have a connection with us because of the holy word of yours. We're not connected, O Lord, by a physical bond, but by a spiritual bond in the word of God. It's a scarlet thread on the blood of Jesus Christ. They knit us close together as one family of God. And I pray, Father, we pray that the circle will not be broken. We always, Father, remember that in this world we have nothing because we are not of this world. But in this world, Father, and out of this world, not of this realm, we have Jesus Christ. He is the peace in our heart. A peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. And no matter what comes, Father, trials, tribulation. And as Paul said, neither height nor width, what or nor depth could separate us from the love of God. Because, Lord, we are yours. And because we are yours, Father, you hold us in the hand of Jesus Christ. And none can pick us up, Lord. So, Father, we ask for your grace. To bless everyone, Lord. Here, those at home who cannot be here, and those out there in the different parts of the world who are listening today on live streaming, or perhaps later on website or whatever. We thank you, Father, for your grace, and asking that you bless us now, Father, as you approach that word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Just want to answer some questions. Usually we're still on our subject on, you know, question that for the wise bearing. There have been a lot of, over the last, you know, during this COVID period, there have been a lot of questions people are asking me, and also on the Facebook, and also on those who are on the forum. And sometimes I try to ignore them, because some of the things that they ask are argumentative. But I realize that there are those who really need to know. And not that they have not been taught, but perhaps they have not kind of, well, we'll say sometimes they kind of lost their, what they have learned because of the confusion, you know, because of the pressure, you know what I mean? I mean, some of you brother here and sister here, you have been in and out of this fellowship over the years because of the issue that you face and from the pressure from outside. I just want to recall something here. Some, I don't mention the name, but we have a sister here, you know, who works here. When she found out that I exist, and I think I've told you before, she thought that I was in the period, in the era of Brother Branham. I already got died and gone. But when the pastor's wife told her, I'm here. So she went on Facebook to look for me, and then she contacted me. And said, Brother Gunn, I would like to come over. I am at the Southern group. You know, I said, well, let me say this. Before you come over here, please tell that pastor where you have been fellowshipping with, since you are here, that you are coming over. And that's what I always tell people whom I know, who knows me, who have been in a certain place for long, and you want to come over and want to make sure that they have a respect for the church they go to. You know. I remember maybe I would like to use Brother Lawrence and Sister Wendy. Do you remember last time when we were having fellowship in AA? I approached you when you were having a convention down there. Because when you left us, and I don't know where you went, I thought you were with that one group. And so when you came back, I approached you. I don't know where you still remember. I said, if you are there, don't come here. Back and forth. And if you want to come here, let them know. Let the person know. You remember that incident? I'm not sure whether you remember. Because anybody, last time also another brother did the same. When you come back, I told him, when you come back, please remember, let the person know that you are here. Because I have been accused of stealing sheep. You know? You see, that is not a problem. But anyway, you remember you telling me, no, you did not go there. You were just visiting here and there. You understand? So, I want you to remember this. If you want to leave this fellowship, want to go to the other fellowship, let me know that you are going there. That one believer many years ago, back in the, I would say in the 80s, he told me in Bergen, I want to leave the fellowship. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the other fellowship. He says, are you leaving for what reason? He said, no reason, no problem. I talked to him. No. He said, all right then. Actually, he left because he did not agree with me on marriage and divorce. He believed in polygamy. And over the years later on, I found out he believed in polygamy because he wanted me to talk to a polygamist minister. And found two ministers. Actually, the first one was a failure. You know, the minister do not want to look at the Bible. So the second one, he called me up also a few months later, and that man was quoting just one statement of Brother Branham. Brother Branham, do you believe that God never changed his mind about his word? I said, yes. And he said, therefore, if God never changed his mind about his word, and he allowed Abraham to more than one wife, David to have more than one wife, King Solomon a few hundred wives, therefore, God never changed his mind about his word, you can have more than one wife right again. Do you remember what I told you? And the brother was so excited, see, that it wasn't even scripture. You know, and all that I have to do, I have to pose one question to the preacher. And he was shocked. He couldn't even answer the simple question. Just think about it. You use a quote of Brother Branham as if it is scripture. That God never changes his mind about his word. And therefore, if you allow so and so to have so many wives, I can have so many wives too. Is that scripture? You see. But anyway, I give to him the truth. The difference between the perfect will and the permissive will of God. So on the way out of the room to the elevator, the brother told me, Brother Gunn, you are right. I said, no, I'm a liar. Looking. I said, do you know why they said that? Do you know the Paul's a liar? Do you know the problem's a liar? You look at me. Sometimes I just say the thing to shock the person, to wake him up and think. Many times we don't think. I said, do you know why I said that? I said, anytime we say something that contradicts the word of God, we are liar. We are making the word of God a lie, as the Bible said, possible. Let every man be a lie. Let God be the truth. So don't take Brother Abraham's word as if it is the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago, I mean, 3 weeks ago, I can't remember now, when I preached on this question that is posted. One of the questions was about what a preacher in Nigeria said, and we have a quote on the screen, and I mentioned about this Brahmism, how the son of Brother Branham, Joseph Branham, member of Press, Play and Obey, and he had letters gone out. Went out, tell the people, he said, I don't understand why you people are not coming together and listen to the most important, you know, things that God wants you to know. He He said, it's all right for you to gather and preach from the Bible. But the most important thing is to come together, put on the table, Brother Graham, the prophet of God, and this is the most important, and listen. And remember, I was talking about this, and an African brother took that portion out and posted it on Facebook and began to share. And people, those who look at it, of course, those who know what I'm saying, they agree to it. We have a living ministry, remember? We have a living ministry. And the fivefold ministry is something that is real. And he heard me say that, but of course, no problem for you to take the tape of Brother Branham. I said, it's online too. You go home and listen to it. But when we gather on the first day of the week, it's not to take the tape and press play and obey. Yeah, my name is Hayden. From the very beginning, in 71, I came the message, in 74, I left the spirit. And they started attacking me. And I have been well known from that time on. You mention Singapore, you mention my name, people know about it. I stood for what truth is, for what God has raised me up to do. And I'm not afraid to preach it. And I'll be cursed even when I went to Africa. As I told you, they came to my motel room and started to prophesy in the name of the Lord God Jesus and all these. You are cursed, you die of a terrible disease. You're hungry, I got cancer now. It must be after so long, huh? And even one believer here, one preacher here, said I. He said in 1 or 2 years' time, one of these thunders would die. We never couldn't be thunders. In the how many years ago that he prophesied that I'm still alive? Now I say, over again, the cancer, he's going to die. See, he's cursed with the curse by preaching that. He's preaching lies. Let me tell you something. Do you know what the denomination said about Brother Branham? Huh? And the Brahma defended Brother Branham? Denomination are saying he died in a car accident. He died in a car accident! What kind of death is that? Therefore, he cannot be a true prophet. He's a false prophet. And then the Brahma, of course, from the defender of the Brahmin, said, well, you know, the martyrs, many of them died then. They said, yeah, but the denomination replied, they died as a martyr for truth. But the Brother Bram died as a martyr for truth. You see, no matter how we travel away, you want to argue. People do not know the will of God. What did Brother Bram have to die at age of 56? 56 years old. And he knew that he's going to go. What did he die at 56 years old? Young, isn't it? 56 years old, isn't it a young age? Yeah. And they say all kinds of things about him. Now they're saying all kinds of things about him. And perhaps some of those who hate me, don't like me, they're watching. See how I'm going to suffer. Have you ever watched Paul suffer? Have you ever watched Timothy suffer? Have you ever watched, really watch? When you read the Bible, you watch. Don't just read it, watch. What, Job went through? The suffering he went through? Not just 1 week or the month. You know how long he went through? Huh? A little at a time, the thing was being taken away from him. Until much later, he got all, not only the thing that was taken from him, he got afflicted with sorts of bad disease over his body, the kabanka, the soul. You ever seen that? Ever? You just think about it. You have a pimple, but no. He got all this big boy kabanka over his body. The kid to sit on a pile of ashes just to sue his butt, just to lie down. what I mean, did he deserve anything? What had Job done? And I was sharing this with the brother Livon. He tells him. He went through what I posed for you to understand, to look at. Okay, who is not frustrated? So when it comes to the question of pain and suffering, a lot of people think that when you believe in the truth, you think you're going to have a good life. You may be in the 20s, 30s, or 40s. If the Lord don't come, wait till you live to the 50s, 60s and see what happened to your body. And just remember this. In all this, the Bible said that Job did not say anything against God. Your wife said, "Well, just because he's going to die." He did not even open his mouth to say anything negatively against God. What was the reason? I mean, everything that happened to us, the thing that happened to Job, do you know that there is a reason why the Lord allows Satan to put him on this? The Satan cannot do anything to Job without God's permission. And God allow it. Man, think about it. If something happened to you, something really bad, you know, let me ask myself, what have I done to deserve this? Facing a pain ever so often, what have I done? Why did God allow that to Job? There is a reason. Job did not know until you read the whole of the book with all his three friends reasoning with him. And finally God says, "Stand on your feet and tell me, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation for where were you?" But God was trying to tell Job and let him learn something. After that, end of it, the period that God allowed him to go through, then God will reveal something. Job was ignorant for certain things that God doesn't want him to be ignorant of. There are things in our life many of us are so ignorant of. Yes. And I don't want to be ignorant of, well, I don't know what the Lord is trying to tell me. I want to have an understanding, knowledge. Is there anything I went that I have not understood, have gone wrong? Or there's something that God has prepared for me that is to come? I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or do God want to set me as an example of faith? I don't know. I know many of you are going through. God allows the thing that happened to Brother Rowley. You know what? It broke my heart. When I look at him, I learned something out of that brother. Something that encourages me to see a brother all smile. When the light, physical light, are just fading away from him. The most important gift of a man, the most important sense of a man's life is the eyesight. Right? You don't want to be in darkness. You lost an arm is one thing, lost a leg is one thing. Lost your hearing is another thing. You can try to get something to fix to hear. Lost your taste perhaps. Lost a sense of smell, but you lost something and totally don't even know where you are. Yes. and Helen Keller, born blind, and yet loved the Lord. The question asked her, she believed the Lord, he was a faithful, she really believed, and she was asked, who's the first person you want to see? When you open your eyes, said, the first person I want to see is my Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. We're going through hard times. So this is just a recap to let you know the pain and sorrow will be part of human life. And our positive thinking, positive confession, the word is there. God has already confessed to you. So all do we have to believe what God said and move on with it. And know that it is true. But we have to fight. It's a battle. We don't just walk into Canaan and take over the land. We just come. It's a battle. It'll always be. That's why the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The black dog, the white dog. My goodness, I understand what the Red Indian Chief was telling Brother Branham. If I'm not a Christian, if I have Christ Jesus in my life, I don't have this problem of finding dogs in my head. Surely, isn't it? But when you become a Christian, when you have Christ in you, you become very conscious. Yes. The day I came to know Christ, that's why I become so conscious. I was aware that this life is not just this life that we live. This life is something else. Amen. Now let's go back a little bit to the book of Genesis. Just want to continue from there. You know, when we look into the book of Genesis, as I said, we go into the gene side, the beginning of life and beginning of things that happen. How things evolve or, you know, develop to what we are, what mankind is today. When you go to the book of Genesis, remember that how in the week before last, we talk about the sin of Ham. What was the sin of Ham? And we know, and there was incest between him and his mother. Now, the question is, we know that since we believe that it was incest that took place, one other question that was posed, one other question that was asked is this. If it was incest, why did not God pass judgment on both of them for this immoral act? Because the Lord of God said so. Even anyone who caught in adultery, they'll be stoned to death. So the question was posed like that. Why did God not judge them? Another question I'll pose to you is the same as someone asked me. Why did God not judge Cain after he killed Abel? Why did he not judge Cain after he killed Abel? After all, God said an eye for an eye, blood for blood, life for life. What it seems that people are really that confused when they read the scripture. They did not take the flow of the timeline. As I said many times, we need to remember our timeline. You know that the law that was given to Moses, when was it given? It was given how many years down the road? Hundreds of years down the road. And not before. So if there is no law, you cannot judge. Are you getting me? Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 9. So where there is no law, there is no judgment. You cannot, judgment cannot be passed. You go to Genesis chapter 9, and you read 5 to 6. Now, I'm not taking any special subject or the message to preach, but I'm putting out this question that people put out rather, and I bring it up here, post it, answer it, a little here, a little so that you can understand. You know, sometimes we want to hear a sermon, you know, on prosperity, on righteousness, on this, on that, and after hear somebody go home. And there are a lot of things that we missed. You know, the few days when I'm still going back to my message that I wrote, the book that we printed, Genesis, I read through it, and I'm still learning a lot of things from what I went to recall. Because sometimes we tend to forget. Right? So now, in chapter 9, and verse 5 to 6, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of a man. Whosoever shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God make him man. Right? When was chapter 9? Chapter 9 was the law now instituted here. Not that which was given to Moses much, much later. Here, because something happened. Something happened. And so God tell Noah. Now, interestingly, chapter 9 is when they left the ark. Chapter 9 is after the flood, when they left the ark. So this was given. Okay, let us read all the way to verse 6 from chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. Let us read the whole of this passage. And we'll look into what it says here. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now this become a new earth to them already, because the flood came and destroyed everything. Alright? And the flood is still subsiding. They came out of the ark, they were on the mountain top. Alright? And when water well receded, Noah was able to sacrifice and offer burnt offering to the Lord. Okay? Now, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that move upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And surely your blood. Now the reason why verse 5 and 6 is put thereafter, there is something that is connected to the first 4 verses. I want you to look closely. We deal with it. Alright? In verse 2, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that move upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, and into your hand are they delivered. Now, I believe many of us read this. In fact, denomination, totally many of them miss this whole thing actually. Let me say this. The question that was also asked and posed in the argument, were there sacrifices in the day after Adam's sin? There were sacrifices. Right? Okay, there were sacrifices. Did they eat meat after Adam sinned against the Lord? God slain at least two animals to clothe Adam and Eve. Then they have children, and then their children's children, Seth, the Seth people came. Did they eat meat? Now the thing is that in denomination, they didn't eat meat until chapter 9. Now, I want you to think here is where, if you want to understand Revelation, you need to look a little closer at what God is saying, because God hides the truth from men. But when we begin to understand things, the more blessed are we to see how God's plan works out. Huh? So the question is, did they eat meat? Abel, 30 people, all the way down to Noah before the flood, did they eat meat? But the interesting thing, as I said, is that if you love the scripture, you will want to study. And you will question. And you know, a lot of people, they study the Bible. Of course, they probably use what we call handbooks. Theological books, that's why I threw all those out. And now, of course, they will go on to e-source. They have some theological help for you and the opinion of such and such different one, you know, interpreting what the scripture means. And they will quote the rabbi and so on and so forth. And on one website, I was interested, somebody put, you know, I saw the link, somehow it went there, went to on a website where the rabbi, oh, in fact, no, it was not, yeah, the link that was sent to me some years back by one of the believers here in Singapore. What this rabbi believe. And you know, rabbis, they are very studious. And when they study the Bible, the Pentateuch of the Bible, the first five books, the Torah, as they call it, or even they go back to the Talmud, you know, some other interpretation by some sages of old. And there are very strange interpretation. But it sounds very, very valid. Huh? Okay, but we'll deal with this and see how. Did they eat meat? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. They ate meat. How do we know? Well, let's show you a little as you understand. First of all, when Abel and Cain was born, the Bible specifically tells you one thing. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a keeper of sheep. But they tell you nothing. Just tell you as a keeper of sheep. But question asked, why did he keep sheep? Remember, in the first place, God told Adam, you have dominion over all these animals. Right? Oh, they kept sheep because, and goats, and the word sheep, a keeper of sheep actually is a word that means animals that are like sheep or goat or small cattle, you know. You don't keep buffalo or you don't keep elephant or horses. You don't keep that. Right? Oh, they kept them because they need milk. Milk. They keep them for milk. Really? Oh, maybe that they will slaughter them and they make clothes out of their wool. See? The Bible does not tell you anything, right? Just like that. Okay, so let's go on and look at what the Bible does say. The verse itself here will tell you something. Verse 2. You see the word here, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. Now, before that, before the fall, now this is after the flood, before the fall, all the animals that were there, Adam walking among the lions, he could sit there with the lions and the lamb is just sitting beside him, right? And little rabbit is there. Huh? And there's a fox. The fox won't chase after the rabbit.
No.
Right? You tell me, have their space. But when the fourth came, the animals became weary of human beings. Do you understand? They'll move away. That's what now what we see. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast, the dread of you. Now you see that even ever you see, if you ever see a dog in the streets, not some even your neighbor's dog. If you are a stranger, they walk near, the dog will look at you and move away. Is that not right? But because they have become fearful of men. Yeah, even before the flood, it was already there. But all animals are different. There are those like lions, the tiger, the ferocious kind. There are those, they are the dogs that you can tame and you can, you know, get you to be friends. And there are sheep that, well, they're kind of a docile bit, they follow you, you know. Do you understand? So different kind of animals. There are those that you can domesticate. There are those that you can't. But watch the word here. I want you to watch. The fear of the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. Every beast. What does the word beast tell you? Beast means the animal. Of the earth. The word earth is red. What does this word here mean? What does it mean? This Iraq means this earth. This earth, huh? Now, the Bible translation has a problem when we just read it. And upon every fowl of the air, now it's a bird, not the beast anymore, but the fowl that is flying in the air. And upon all that move upon the earth, right? Here's the word earth again. What does this word earth here mean? It is not a rat. It is not this earth. The word here in the Hebrew is ardamah, that is the soil. So different words translated in the English is earth. And that's why we have argument about people using the Trinity with the word one God, one, Eka, one, Yaki. One body. And in the Greek, they say, one God, Heis. And they argue about it being oneness, and just like they say, you see, our God is one, he automatically one, what's this word? Numerically one, and one that means two in one. It's still one. And they give an example from the book of Genesis. Why God said said it's not good for man to be alone. And God created a woman for him. And Adam was said, thou art bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and join unto his wife, and they both shall be Eka. One, you see? Doesn't mean numerical one. It just means one, two are one. So we are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Let me say this word. Do you know that sometimes what may mean a lot of things? Bible would say, you can study Greek, you can study Hebrew, but you don't have revelation, you got yourself messed up. And that is very true. A man joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The Bible says that this thing about it, what do you mean by one flesh? What God intention for mankind or Adam Eve when he gave the woman to Adam, what is the purpose of it? He took the woman from the man because man is originally one, made of a man, and give it back to the man. For what purpose? As Abraham might say, what you have spoken word, have you just speak the word to the dust of the ground and children will grow up with just thanks before him. No. That is not what it is. If that is spoken word, then why did God want to create a woman and give to Adam. Not just Adam, they say, let them behave, let them be eat, let them be this, and everyone stop popping up from you. Foolish Brahmins. Well, you can curse me and die, and ask me to die, it doesn't matter. Truth needs to be told. God gave it back to Adam, and these two shall be one flesh. How is the one flesh possible? There is the YX chromosome. And out comes the baby. That's one flesh. The woman came from the man. The woman is not a separate entity by herself, because she is not an original. She was not an original creation. God intended to show the beauty of the man, the masculine, the feminine. It's got a man. It's got a woman. God is not a man. God is not a woman. God is a spirit. But He's always in masculine form. And that's why in America some women churches want they change the Bible from he to she. That God is a she. God is always masculine. And yet in the creation you can see the feminine as well. Right? Now you know, I remember when I was young, in school kids, when you carry a bunch of flowers, you know how they feel like tissue? Because you carry flowers. But that is a feminine side, yes. And so God's intention was to help that. Because He wants a family. It is not good for man to be alone. And God is actually trying to say, it's not good for me to be alone. I want a family. And that's why, from that, He showed that beautiful types in which Christ, Adam represents the first Adam, Christ the last Adam. The first man and the second man. And Eve came from his side. Where do we come from? Where do we come from? We came from the side of Christ. Is it not? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And the blood of Christ was the propitiation for your sin and my sin. The reconcile us back to God. And we came from side, and together with Christ, we are one. Because we came from His side back to Him. So, look at this word again. Verse 2. And upon all that move upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. So you see the word move upon the earth. The word earth here means the soil. What are those things that move? And you see the word moved upon the earth. What is that word? Okay, let's go to verse 3. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Now, every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. Now here, you are saying, you see, Adam and Eve, after the fall, they did not eat meat. But now God says, I have given you every moving thing for meat for you. Now, that's what you look at in the English translation. But the Hebrew word shows something different because of usage of words. What is this word here? Moving thing. In the Greek word, in the Hebrew word is ramesh, ramis. It means, very interesting. Just simply mean, and I think in some other translations, it's a creeping things. Right? Who, anybody have different translation? Now, it's a creeping things. It is just moving things. It's a creeping things. And the same word is in verse 2. Upon all that move is ramas. It's the same word almost just next to each other. It means anything that crawl, anything that creep, anything that swarm. So it means the cockroaches, the locusts, the lizard, the spider, anything that move, they creep. Not the beast do not creep. Right? He says the beast of the field is different. They do not creep. But now, in this chapter 9, as I say this, we realize that God is telling Noah, now you can even eat anything that crawl or creep. Before, they don't. How is it? So let me tell you this. Adam had the revelation about clean food and unclean food. That's why later on when the Lord came to Moses, they can eat anything. In the law of Moses, can you eat frog? You're not allowed to eat frog. It's unclean. Can you eat duck? No, no. It's unclean. Can you eat crab? I will love crab. It's a no-no. But this time, when Noah's given his command, you can eat anything. But because nobody can eat a cockroach, yuck. Nobody eat a spider. But hey, locust. Now, if I give you a locust, what do you want to eat? I mean, some of you say, what? Yuck. I mean, the greenest stuff, right? Now, remember there was John the Baptist eating locusts? Did he roast it? Or did he just look at it, tickle the hind leg, put it into his mouth and munch on it? Well, go to Cambodia, go to Laos, go to Vietnam, they eat it. They eat all those water beetles. I tried once, water beetle, the one that the skin on the water, like, and I tasted it, it's so terrible. It's taste of what? Taste of stagnant water. Because that's what you find them on the pond. But locusts are delicious. Try that over there in Uganda. It's really nice. You know. But what about a lizard? A gecko. Would you want to eat a gecko? If you ever watch the true story about the killing field, the doctor who survived, and again, he caught those gecko and he ate it. Survived. You know. So it depends on the unclean or unclean. In fact, there are people in China, some kind of Chinese medicine, they use cockroach for herb soup. You all know that. Yeah. And what about the Madagascar cockroach? Huge one. People eat that. Everything that's allowed can be eaten. It's only. Well, they're squeamish. And that's what here you're looking at. Everything you can eat now. And you won't need to know. Okay, let's continue with the next verse. But the flesh, verse 4. Here's what God is going to tell. For the flesh thereof, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat. God is very specific. Don't eat that. Because whenever you kill an animal, life is gone. Because blood is shed, life is gone. Life is the blood. Huh? Blood is life. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whosoever shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Now God then finally put this. If you ever take the life of a man, God said your life will be taken. Even with an animal who killed a man, the animal must be put to death. And I told you this once, this discussed with a pastor here in Singapore. He said, who are we to take the life of another man? Huh? We talk about a criminal. The one who murdered somebody. And he said, yeah, but who are we to take the life of another man? Do you know the problem? Do not believe in capital punishment? And that's the answer he gave me. I said, that's it. My answer to you, that's thus said the Lord. Brother, do not believe in capital punishment. So, I said, so what? He doesn't believe in capital punishment, does not do away with the word of God. You agree with that? Yeah. as I said this many years ago, New Zealand to New Zealand, men came in the evening to our home. Back then was in the 70s. I mean, they appeared and all that thing and said, do you know, when he saw me having a cup of a glass of tea, say, you know, you shouldn't be drinking tea. He says, what? Brother Ben did not drink tea. He didn't drink coffee. I said, really? I don't know how you know that. I know that the Americans love coffee. Right? I wonder, where do you get that? He said, really? He said, do you know, Brother Ben, he drinks distilled water. So I have to drink distilled water. Because the prophet drinks distilled water. That's too much worship of the man. Like the guru, like the Bapua, the one who is a philosopher. They worship like he was God. My goodness. So I said this. The Bible here first says, give you the answer. By whosoever shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. If an animal kills a man, that animal must be put to death. Who put the animal to death? By the hands of man. If a man kills another man, who put the killer to death? By the hands of man. Are you going to ignore that? That's going to be a problem in America. A man can go and gun and shoot people down and then go to jail and say, oh, you're sentenced to 72 years jail. He was there only for 5 years for good behavior, out he goes on parole. After he went, he buy a few more guns and start shooting again. What? Do you know, I love an article that was out recently in the newspaper a few days ago. Shamugam. Zambi is a foreign affair, I can't remember, is that right?
Home affair.
He was interviewed by BBC. Man, when you talk about BBC, you talk about Larry King and all these media, they always want to pick somebody as a target. And they were treason too. Shamugam is shot. Huh? So why you people put, the law put people, the drug trafficker to death? You know? They were caught in certain cases and said, and then Shamugam said, yeah. When a man is put to death, when a drug is put to death, it's a tragedy. But there are thousands of them who died because of this trafficker. It is a statistics. I'm just very busy. Think about it. Huh? It's just a number. 10,000 people are drug addicts. Oh, this is terrible. You put to death one trafficker, a drug trafficker, you put him to death. How terrible are you? I believe in the Lord God. Nations around the world have common sense. They have a following and a law that has already been established way back thousands of years. Isn't it? Yep. And what is America trying to do now? Manipulating so many other countries? They want to bring the LGBTQ queer. What is that? What's the last one? Queer, or whatever. What's it supposed to represent? Queer. I'm not like, or questionable, or something like that. What's still queer? Queer, yeah. See, what they want to influence here? Yeah, of course. People here are conservative, you know. Well, you leave them alone. But in America, in some other country, in Europe, you can see a man kissing in public. A man and a man kissing. Wow. America have no more shame anymore. The Lord of God must be applied, and I believe it, and you have to apply this. So now when we look at this, we understand that Abel grew up to be a herder of sheep and goat. And when he sacrificed all the 70 people all the way up to Noah's time, when they sacrifice an animal, there are three kinds of sacrifices, if you remember. Alright? Even before there was a nation called Israel, sacrifices have been practiced. And that's why here, if you look and if you ever look at the, ever study anthropology, the migration of man. You know, I did a lot of study in man those early years. I find it very fascinating. You think about why are there these sacrifices among pagans? Right? The sacrifice, you know that? Right? Whether it be pig or it's a cow or whatever, they have sacrifices. If not a chicken, anything. And you realize that religion is something that must have been started way back, and you look into the Bible back in those days. How did God start a religion? Yes, God started one religion. The word religion, of course, is Latin from the word religo, to buy you back. You know what I mean, to buy you, right? Buy you, bring you back. God started religion. And how did he do that? By a sacrifice. Now I want you to think about it. There's a Genesis is a very fascinating book about all that happened. I mean, why did he have to clothe Adam and Eve? Don't just let them be. Right? I thought they were created naked, right? When Adam was created, he didn't have clothes on. He took Adam, Eve out from Adam and give back to Adam. She didn't have clothes on. But you see, God did not deal with Adam and Eve as physical. He deal with them as spiritual. The real being that is in him and her. The spirit of life that is from God. God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. Yeah. You know, the rabbi, I told you earlier on, but the rabbi, he was very unfit. I don't know how he interpreted that. He said that when Cain offered a sacrifice and was rejected, right? And he's downfallen. And God said to him, you know, if you have done well, you will be accepted. But because you didn't, sin lay at the door. You know how the rabbi interpreted? He was saying that, telling Cain, because you didn't do well, you need to rise up to the occasion, rise up to the occasion, and show that you can. Why? Because man and beast are they all the same. But you must rise up that you can overcome the beast. What? I don't understand that. Huh? So man and beast are equal. Are we really equal to the beast? Beasts are not created in the image of God. Man is the only creation that is created in God's image. But we have all this. Rabbi, these so-called religious people back then, interpreting what they think it is. So it is common sense to believe that Adam did offer sacrifice only of clean animals. Obviously. Because that's the revelation. It's nothing to be unclean. You know what I mean? The clean animal and those unclean animals. Now, we know that sacrifices continue all the way down to Methuselah when he's gone. And then the lament that you have Noah who took the animal to body in the clean animal, he took 7 pairs for sacrificing. You need more clean meat than unclean meat, obviously. So brought that into the ark. Now there are 3 kinds of, so remember this. True worship was never lost. As I told one, the brother in America who was trying to prove his doctrine, right and I'm wrong, I'm telling him that true worship was never lost. God, he was going to where the Bible in Genesis says, and man began to call upon the name of the Lord. Remember at the birth of, when Seth gave birth to Enos. and named his son Enos. And that man began to call upon the name of the Lord. He said his worship has been lost. And now they're calling the name of Yahweh. He said, that's wrong interpretation. That's wrong interpretation. True worship has never been lost. How many generations was that? Adam, Abel. Abel killed, Seth replaced. Right? Seth gave up to Enos. And you tell me that within these three generations that the true worship of God was lost. Man began to call upon the name of the Lord. It has nothing to do with the Semitic people. It has to do with the Kenite people. By the time of Enos was born, already after Seth was born, Adam had sons and daughters, right? And until when Seth was older, 105 years old, he gave birth to Enos. So within that period, now remember, Adam did not have Seth until 135 years old. You know, Adam did not sleep with Eve for 135 years old. Until 135 years. By which time, how old was Cain? Now you need to calculate and be quick. If Adam was 135 years old before he again gave birth to Seth, how old was Cain? At least 134 years old. Wow. Think about it, isn't that funny? Right? And then after Seth was 105, he gave birth to Enos. So within a period of 200 and how many years? 40 years? Don't tell me that within that period true worship was lost. Adam passed it to Seth. Seth passed it to Enos. How did the true worship of God get lost? Not possible. You know, in my study of this book of Genesis, all those years, I sit down, look at it carefully, examine it carefully, and let the Lord speak. Don't have hastily and don't behave, but that's not behave like the denomination, organized tradition, interpret it just like what we see in the Bible, and we say, that's it. No. We don't. So true worship and never be lost. But now look at offering. There are three kinds of offering or sacrifices: sin offering, peace offering, and burnt offering. Burnt offering. Go to Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. Let us be quick and I try to see if we can. Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou love, and get it into the land of Moriah, and offer him up there for the burnt offering upon one of the mountain which I will tell thee of. Burnt offering. Exodus 29 and verse 18. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savour, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. That means a burnt offering is to burn everything up as a sweet savour to God. Your sacrifice. Like God told Abraham, sacrifice that. Your sacrifice, give it to me. Like God gave his burnt offering at Calvary for us. Because he was sweet smelling savour to him, because he could reconcile men to himself. That is burnt offering. Sin offering. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 26. The priest that offer for sin shall eat it in the holy place, shall it be eaten in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. I don't want to read the second one, but let us go to read another verse. Now that is a sin offering. Now the sin offering is to be performed by a priest. Alright? He offer it and he on behalf of the people and he eat it in the place where he sacrificed. Eat it. He sacrificed and he eat it. Now the last one is a peace offering, which is a free will offering. Let us go to Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 15 to 17. and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. And on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten, but the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice in the third day shall be burned with fire. So, three kinds of offering. Burnt offering, burn everything for God. Sin offering is done by the priest, and he eat it in the place where it was sacrificed. But your peace offering, or the free will offering that you give to God, you are the one who sacrifices it, you eat it. That means you are sitting there with communion with the Lord. This is my free offering. We have the communion. Alright? And you cannot finish on the morrow, on the third day, depends which one you're referring to. You burn it. Burn everything. So, you be in the days of Adam, after the fall came, he did sacrifice. Everybody sacrificed. Set the sacrifice. When it comes to these three sacrifices, remember, every one of us is a priest, right? You know now? Remember the song, we bring the sacrifice of praise? Yeah, we are priests, as Peter said in his epistle. We are holy priests. Do you understand that? So, in those days, if Adam were to offer a sin offering for the family, for the whole family, he act as a priest, so he would eat all that. You understand? But if it is for himself, if he has done something wrong, they become a free will offering. Or the Bible will call it peace offering. The Lord, so come and make peace with God. Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. Right? You communicate with him, you offer a sacrifice, you eat it. So it is common sense to know that sacrifice, animals were kept for sacrifices, not just for the milk and wool, no, but also for sacrifice and we need to eat meat. Do you understand? They did not sacrifice an alligator. No. They did not sacrifice a swine. Do you understand what I'm saying? Only the clean animal, whether it be a heifer, or whether it be a sheep, or a goat. Do you understand? Then after the flood, then only kind of animal could be eaten. Now today, you know the Bible said, Paul said, you can eat anything. Right? Under the law, you're not supposed to eat crab, you're supposed not supposed to eat ducks or pork. You're not supposed to eat that. But here we are in the gospel that you can eat anything. But now that it was given to even the Noah after the flood, even to us today, we need to realize that we be careful what we eat. Yeah, no one can eat anything. But you just go and eat all those junk food. And we know there is no good for health, but there's a problem we have today. Not just unclean food, but the way that it is prepared has killed a lot of people. That is true. It is not the gene, as one Chinese doctor or researcher said. It is the soil. Because a group of Chinese from China, they were very healthy. They moved over to California, and in 30 years, their children, they find themselves having a lot of health problems. Why? It's not the gene. In China, as long as they keep on eating what they eat, they have no problem. But when they came over to California, what kind of junk food did they get? What do you get on the shelf? Tortilla, tatico, and whatever, fish and chips, and everything is instant, fast, all the my. And you're eating that junk food. Alright, so I just close for now. I'm already gone. We continue next week, whatever we have. There are a lot of other questions. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we bless the holy name. We thank you, O Lord, for your grace, on us. Thank you for thy word of truth, Father. Thank you for opening our mind and understanding to thy word. To be able to understand, O Father, the thing that, Lord, you have prepared. The thing, O Lord, even before the foundation of the world that you have established already and ordained for it to come to pass. And blessed are your people, Father, that you have chosen to be a part of your life, to be able to share with you, O Father, all that you have prepared for us and the thing that you want us to have. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We ask for your blessing, O Father. Break down the word further, Lord. Meantime, when we are alone with you, in prayer, in study, be with us, Father. Grant grace to us, Father, in Jesus' name.